This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. Big one here. I've been excited for this one all year long as the Raiders take on the New England Patriots this Sunday, week 11, November 19th, at Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. That's right, the Silver and Black go back to Mexico City, second straight year. They beat Houston there last year in 2016, and the Raiders are coming off a big win last Sunday night before the bye week at the Miami Dolphins, a game that they had to win by a score of 27-24 in that game. Derek Carr led the offense with 300 yards passing and a good game for Marshawn Lynch, two rushing touchdowns in that game. So the Raiders won at Miami after losing to Buffalo, preparing in Sarasota, Florida. They're on the road for a while. They needed the bye week at the right time. Jack Del Rio had his bocce ball tournament. Players were able to get home with their family, then get back to practice and train for this game against the Patriots, the world champs in Mexico City. This is a huge game. New England comes in 7-2, obviously the world champions coming off their Super Bowl victory. This is the biggest Raider game, I think, in years. Whenever you play the Patriots, it's the biggest game on the schedule. You want to play them in the playoffs, which means you're a playoff team and you know New England's going to be in the playoffs every year. New England coming off a very impressive win last Sunday at the Denver Broncos by a score of 41-16. Tom Brady and that team win in blowout fashion. He threw three touchdowns with no interceptions in that game. And New England is rocking. They're playing their best football, which is no surprise at this time of year. And New England decided to stay in Denver, in and around the area. They actually trained at the Air Force Academy after they beat the Denver Broncos because they wanted to stay back in the altitude before going into Mexico City. The Raiders pretty much doing the exact opposite. Jack Del Rio and their staff going in the day before, and they believe they'll be ready the same way they trained last year to get ready for that victory against the Houston Texans. This is a wild atmosphere. 77,000 fans. It's obviously a Raider home game, and to get Tom Brady in Mexico City, I know a lot of Raider fans listening would have rather have seen that game, obviously, at the Oakland Coliseum, but it is what it is, and the Raiders have to step up and keep the momentum going. When I'm on the radio, it's more intense. Sky is falling, a win, a must-win. You hear those terms all the time. But I'm telling you on this podcast that this is a must-win for the Silver and Black. If the Raiders win this game, they get back to 500. They get to 5-5, and I believe they control their destiny to get a wild card, let alone win the division in the AFC West. Think of what a victory would do here for the Silver and Black, beating the best team in football, two in a row coming off Miami and building momentum in the second half of the year. The Raiders come into this game going up against the Raiders, who are number one in the NFL when it comes to offense. The number one ranked offense in yards, 409 yards a game. They're number one in a passing offense of over 301 yards a game. The Raiders come in ranked 22nd in total offense, 27th in rushing yards. But I think this game, the important stat for the Raiders is the Patriots' defense. They are ranked dead last, 32nd in yards, giving up 408 yards a game. Dead last in pass defense at 287 yards a game. This is a team that gives up a tremendous amount of yards. So we got great guests coming up here on this version of the podcast. And what I want to get to the bottom of here is, what should the Raiders do in this game? Should they run it and take the air out of the ball to keep Tom Brady on the sidelines? Or should the Raiders get into a shootout with Tom Brady and just go toe-to-toe, Derek Carr versus Tom Brady, and hope that Carr can stay in a shootout with the great Tom Brady? It could happen in this game. We'll get to the bottom of it throughout the podcast. Chris Sims is going to join us to kick it off. We're also going to be joined by John Pagano, the assistant head coach of the Silver and Black. Michael Gelkin, who covers the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Also, Ben Volen from the Boston Globe. He's the lead Patriot beat writer, and our friend Eddie Pascal, the senior writer for the Silver and Black. So this is it. This is the moment for the Raiders this year. It's been an up and down season with injuries, highs and lows, but coming off the bye week as the Patriots remain on the road, The Raiders have got to play their best game of the year. They got to be ready to play. They have to start fast. They have to be really strong in special teams because Denver fell apart last week and the Patriots jumped all over that. And they just got to put Tom Brady down a few times in this game, slow down Gronkowski, and hope that the Patriots don't have a performance like they had against Denver this past Sunday where they played one of their best games of the season and they are peaking at the right time. Let's begin this week's version of the official Raiders podcast with a guy I think is a superstar in this business, and he's just getting going. Chris Sims from Bleacher Report, also Pro Football Talk, joins us. And Chris, thanks again for coming on. You joined us last year, and the Patriots, as I just said, are coming off a big victory against the Denver Broncos. Is this the best their offense has looked so far this year?
Yeah, I do think it is. I mean, New England's offense is at its best. Their team overall is at its best right now, at least that we've seen all year. I mean, they fixed their defensive issues. They're back into bend, don't break. We're going to make you kick a field goal, and then Tom Brady's going to score a touchdown, and it's going to be 7-3. Then it's going to be 7-6. Then it's going to be 14-6. Then it's going to be 14-9 and 21-9. That's what they do. Their offense is, JT, borderline indefensible. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. Of course, Brady is great, but the scheme itself is great as well. So the combination there with the coaching makes it so tough to defend that I do think it'll be a very tough challenge for your Raiders defense.
Yeah, I would see that because the Raiders have Mack and a couple of pass rushers. They haven't intercepted a pass this year. This is a really important point, Chris, that I want to get to. The philosophy of what the Raiders want to do in a game like this. If you rush an extra pass rusher, you still don't get to Brady. Brady gets the ball out. Do you bring in a nickel? Do you bring in more undersized players on the back end and try to keep everybody in front of you?
Yeah, I think the big thing is, you know, like you just said there, I mean, the pressure thing, I don't think you should even waste your time with that. I mean, occasionally, just to keep things off kilter, yes, but come on, this is Tom Brady. He's been playing for almost two decades now. He's seen every blitz under the sun. They're amazing at picking up blitzes as is, and they have always creative schemes to expose the blitz coverages behind it. If I'm the Oakland Raiders, you rush for, you try to play coverage behind it. The biggest thing, too, JT, is not necessarily what you do. It's about keeping the Patriots off balance. If you're going to be predictable and they're going to break you down better than any team breaks you down, I know that having worked there, they're going to play numbers. They're going to find certain formations and tendencies that the Raiders defense has, and they're going to go, ooh, okay, well, when we get in this formation, they only play these two coverages, so we'll come up with a whole game plan just to expose these two coverages. What you have to do is give them things. You also almost have to self-scout your own team and do different things and break your tendencies and try to kind of just disrupt their offensive attack that way, because when they know what you're doing or even have a decent feel, like I said earlier, they're almost unstoppable.
Chris Sims is our guest. Chris, I agree with everything you said, and what happens now is the physicality of a game like this. I've been saying for years with the undersized receivers, if it was Edelman or Amendola, make them pay at the line of scrimmage. Hammer them off the ball. Get them off their route. Now, when you do that with Gronkowski, he's so physical, he can push off a linebacker or a safety in the box, and then he gets behind you, and he makes plays. What about the physicality in this game for the Raiders to try to at least? This is a franchise, Oakland, dating back from Willie Brown to Mike Haynes to Lester Hayes to the legends that they had in the secondary. They would get physical with you with Tatum and Atkinson. Can they do that and match up that way?
You know, it's going to be tough. Now, they're going to have to try to pick their spots of when they do it. You know, hey, plain and simple, JT, the Raiders' defense is just not that talented. That's one big issue. And you talked about it, you know, no interceptions on the season, not great sack production in general, not making any turnovers happen, at least compared to last year Raiders football team. So that's scary from that standpoint. The thing that also makes it tough with the Patriots, again, is they're so creative with their offensive sets, their formations, their shifts. They know the things that defenses want to do to disrupt them, and they're great. You know, we talk about shutting down Gronk every week, every matchup, but somehow he seems to catch, you know, 7, 8, 9 balls for 80 or 90 yards because they're just too smart on that side of the ball. Again, I just think of, like, when I think of teams that have beat the Patriots and given them tough times, when you think of the Ravens in the playoffs, right, when they've gone up to New England and given them close games or beat them, the Giants in the Super Bowls, even Rex Ryan's Jets defenses, what they did was gave Brady and company a ton of different looks. They were all over the map to where the offense couldn't get a feel. You play man-to-man at times to be physical, but you also have to play areas. That's the one thing with New England. Break them down area-wise. How much do they like to throw the ball between the hashes? They like to do that a lot. So I'd be creative with zone drops, having lots of guys in that area. That is the biggest thing. But JT, the other problem that is really happening now, as compared to like some of those teams that I've talked about, the Ravens and the Jets, when they could slow down New England a little bit, is no joke, Tom Brady is better now than when I worked there in 2012. He's fixed a lot of his throwing issues. And the fact that they've signed Philip Dorsett and traded for Brandon Cooks and all those things, that shows you, too, that he's throwing the ball better downfield. It's no more just Edelman and Amendola dink and dunk over the middle. He's throwing the ball down the field with such aggressiveness and accuracy that you really have to defend the whole field when you play the Patriots, and it's another reason that's made them so indefensible.
Chris, how are they dead last, 32nd in yards on total defense at 408? Dead last in pass defense at 287.2. How are these numbers being skewed this way defensively? Because the Raiders, last year, as we talked about them often, they would spread everybody out. Carr would attack downfield. He was having a borderline MVP year. Is the way to attack this defense to get Marshawn Lynch the ball, take the air out of the ball, keep Brady on the sideline, or Carr just say, the hell with it. We got to get in a shootout. We got to put up big yards. This is a low-ranked defense from New England.
I think that is the million-dollar question, right? And I would err on the second thing you said, because I haven't seen that the Raiders can consistently run the football, and New England is a big team up front. They got big guys with, you know, Malcolm Brown and Alan Branch. They got a lot of – New England's a much bigger team than TV shows. If you see them in person, you'd go, oh, wow, New England's got a lot of big people when it goes Gronkowski, Bennett, Alan Branch, Malcolm Brown, whatever it may, Dietrich Wise. So they have great size. I don't expect your Oakland Raiders team, which hasn't been able to run all year, to be able to do that against the Patriots. I really don't. I think if you're going to attack them, yes, you do make it a shootout. That's what the Oakland Raiders did last year. It wasn't like you dominated football teams. You threw the ball everywhere. You ran the ball everywhere. And then Derek Carr was clutch in the fourth quarter. But as far as the Patriots defense, they've fixed a lot of their woes. You know, early in the year, their first four games were against some of the best offenses in football. It was the Chiefs. It was the Saints. It was the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson. Then it was the Carolina Panthers. Those games, they really struggled. They let up a ton of yards. But since then, you break it down. They let up 14 against the Bucs, 17 against the Jets, 7 against the Falcons, 13 against the Chargers, 16 against the Broncos. I think a little early in the year, they messed up coverages. Stephon Gilmore was a new corner for the team. He messed up on some communication in the back end that led to some big plays, so they were all over the place. But Belichick's a mad scientist. He's the smartest man football, and he's figured out the new formula that's going to work for the 2017 Patriots. And like I said, they've gotten back to, sure, move the ball between the 30s, but when you get into the red zone, we're not going to let you score touchdowns. We're going to make you kick field goals, and then we're going to go down and score touchdowns with Tom Brady.
Last question for Chris Sims. Chris, looking at the AFC playoffs, with Jacksonville as a 5 seed and Tennessee at a 4 seed, both 6-3, division winner, and I think a wild card there, but the final wild card spot, Buffalo is now has that at number 6 at 5-4, and they're making a quarterback change. Then it's Baltimore and Oakland at 4-5 and Miami at 4-5. That sixth wild card is key for me. If the Raiders have a chance to win this game, if they're able to pull off the upset, they've got to be in the discussion to get that wild card and be right back into it. It feels like a make or break game for Oakland, as a win puts them right back into the playoff argument, a loss, and it's pretty much over.
Yeah, you know, and agreed. It's a big game. We know that. And the sixth seed is wide open. You mentioned the teams. I really do, though, JT. I don't think if you lose this game, you're done. I think this is a year we're going to see the sixth seed in the AFC is going to be like 9-7, maybe even 8-8.
Okay.
You know, you guys just have a tough schedule. The Ravens don't have it incredibly easy. So the Dolphins still have to play New England twice. They're not out of the woods yet. And then who knows what the Jets are going to be. And I do expect Buffalo to continue to fall apart here. That was a curious move today at the quarterback situation when you're 5-4. And it's certainly not Tyrod Taylor's fault that their defense just got steamrolled last week. So that was weird to me. But, yes, a big game. I don't think it's necessarily do or die. But the Raiders got to fix some of their issues. They got to start doing some more stuff on defense. They got to start running the ball better. That's the other big thing, too. And of course, the money on the Oakland Raiders is on the offensive side of the ball. So it's their job to carry the team. The offensive line should be one of the best in football. You got Crabtree, Cooper, Derek Carr, the tight ends. That's the part of the team that has to carry the rest of the squad. And we haven't really seen that Raiders offense hit on all cylinders all year yet.
Thank you, Chris. I'm really excited about everything you're doing in the world of media. Thanks so much for doing this.
Hey, you the man, JT. Be good, man.
Thanks to Chris Sims for joining us again. He's going to have any job he wants in the media in years to come. He's that good. He can go on a deep dive with every team, especially the silver and black. Thrilled to get a chance to talk to him on the official Raiders podcast, the assistant head coach of the silver and black. John Pagano joins us. Coach, thanks for doing this, especially ahead of the big one against the Patriots. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Coach, this is a big one. They're all big ones. But with your experience from your days with the Chargers, now with the Silver and Black, an opportunity to go up against Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, and especially Tom Brady, what does that mean for you and your staff in preparation to this game?
Well, I think, the number one thing, JT, is you got to be sharp. You got to be on top of your game. They do such a great job offensively. They feed off of watching them off on tape of feeding on teams' weaknesses, and you got to do a great job. They throw the ball well. They're throwing the ball downfield more this year with their shots, and they run the ball so well, so they're efficient. So you got to play sound, you got to play smart, But I think the most important thing has been the message that Kenny and Coach Jack has said all week is we got to tackle well, and we got to do a great job of when we have our opportunities to get them down, we got to make sure we get them down on the ground. And you always got to be ready for, that fast tempo, hurry up offense, because you see them doing it throughout the game. So our communication's got to be on a high level.
When you look at Brady and his pre-snap reads, it always seems like, Coach, he's throwing to the open guys, never throwing into double coverage. He makes the smart decision. So without tipping your game plan, when you look at the pressure that you have to put on Tom Brady or putting extra players back in coverage, you know that Brady breaks down film as good as anybody. That pressure on Tom Brady coming off the edge with Mack and Irvin and the rest of this interior defensive line, let's talk about how important that is for them to be sharp.
Well, I think it's always important when you have when you're going against a Hall of Fame quarterback of Tom Brady, the way he reads defenses, how he sees things, you got to do a good job of understanding kind of what's coming. They're going to give you different looks each week. They're going to try to attack, the things that you do, and you just got to be smart. I mean, he's very efficient of what he does, and they do a great job, like you said, of Coach Belichick and Coach Josh of truly understanding and how to attack. And they've done a great job of protecting these last couple games of giving him time where he's really staying in the pocket. And he takes everything you give him, and you got to do a good job of making sure that we have the tight coverage in those different types of schemes that we are going to run.
It's interesting, Coach Gronkowski, he's the type of player you want to keep in front of you, but then he gets behind you and he's able to make big plays, especially from 30 yards in, heading into the red zone. Talk about the physicality that the Raider defense needs to have matching up with him.
Well, you always got to do a good job on, he's a big physical guy that can run after the catch. You've seen it on tape this year where he's caught in some different types of routes underneath coverage that you can see him break into the next level. And he's such a physical presence, and you got to do a good job of really getting your hands on these guys. You got to reroute them. You got to, be able to, just be able, to really, truly, stay on top of these guys, because they are throwing it downfield more, than what they've done. And you see the deep ball threats between, Gronk and Brandon Cooks and all and the receivers. So we got to do a good job of communicating at a high level.
How did you feel about the trip to Sarasota after the Buffalo loss, getting ready for Miami, going up against Jay Cutler? What did the defense, in your mind, looking at the tape again, do well in that victory against Miami that you can bring that momentum to Mexico City?
I think the number one thing is, we played, team defense. We got to tackle better. I think coming away from that game film, we saw we didn't tackle at a high level of what we've done in the past of our tackling. So I think, improving and working on those things and getting a chance to look at it during the bye week last week and being able to, come back and understand that we got to tackle better as a defensive unit from that last game. But it's always positive, JT, anytime you get a chance to go win on the road and do what we did the past week and build off those things and learn. But the most important thing was coming away with a W down there in Miami.
We're wrapping it up with John Pagano, assistant head coach of the Silver and Black. Coach, what's it been like coaching Khalil Mack to see a special player like that? I grew up watching Lawrence Taylor, and I thought he was the greatest defensive player of my lifetime. But I compare Mack to Lawrence Taylor in regards to his speed, what he can do off the edge, how smart he is against the run. And, if you look at these Pro Football Focus numbers like the fans do, even though the sack numbers aren't there like last year, we know how productive he is. And now with him getting schemed with double teams and sometimes a running back staying in a tight end to chip him, he's had his hands full this year.
Yeah, but the one thing when coming in here, you see a great player of how he works day in and day out. The guy never takes a day off, and he's always out there, doing the little things, the attention to details, and you see how he plays against the run. You see how, his effort is when he's rushing the passer, and, that's a credit to Coach Franklin of the job that he has to do to handle all those different types of chips and double teams that he's getting. But you see him splitting double teams, and you just see a, unbelievable effort and work ethic. And, from day one, it's just been a pleasure to be able to watch a guy like that and how he attacks each and every day with the passion. And you can really, truly see the love of the game, in his eyes every day, day in and day out when he walks in this building. And that's been, been an outstanding thing to be able to come in here and watch a guy like that, because he is a great one.
Coach, one more thing about the Patriots in that game where they beat the Broncos 41-16, nine different receivers caught balls going into this game against the Silver and Black. So I would assume you're expecting the same thing. Brady will spread you out. Everyone will be involved here. So it's not just Gronkowski who had four receptions or Cooks who had six. It goes all the way down the line to Dorsett, who had two, Allen that had one, Burkhead had three. So Belichick and Josh McDaniels really want you to think about all the separate weapons they have, including the high-profile stars on that New England offense.
Yeah, you look at them, and like you said, JT, they spread the ball around great. Even from a third down standpoint, their numbers are very balanced between all different receivers, running backs, tight ends. Their numbers are very similar, so the ball is going around in different spots, and they have certain plays for certain, down and distances where they want to get that ball. And like you said, he does a great job of reading defenses, seeing the coverage, and getting the ball where it needs to go. So we got to do a great job this week of truly understanding what we need to do. It's always about us, and making sure we, we're at a high level on knowing what we need to do, communicate, got to be able to play fast against this unit. And then, once that ball snaps, we got to see ball, go get ball, and then tackle the guy with the ball.
Coach, let's end on a personal note. From high school at Boulder Fairview and then Mesa State and then being an assistant coach, UNLV, University of Mississippi, your run with the Saints and the Colts and the great run you had with the Chargers. Where are you in your stage of life right now? Coming to the Raiders, the history of this franchise, Al Davis, what he meant, the staff that you have that you work with every day. How fulfilling has this been for you?
Well, it's been awesome. It's been, a great experience, not only coming in, learning. I think the number one thing, JT, is learning, new ideas and new stuff and not just sitting here, 20 some years in the National Football League. I'm learning stuff every day and learning new and how we do things and just the opportunity, that this organization gave me to bring me in here. And it's been outstanding to be able to talk football every day and learn, and you get to, you know, devise a plan with, you know, with Coach Norton and everybody, and you're coming together, and you go out and battle each week. And I think that's, you know, that's been, you know, the outstanding part of it. It's important. We got to get that W this week, and that's most important. But just the opportunity to, you know, come to a great organization, and, you know, I can't be thankful enough.
Thank you, Coach. Really appreciate us connecting this way. Good luck on the road to Mexico City. We really appreciate your time. Good luck getting that W.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks again to Coach Pagano in a big spot and obviously enjoying this stage of his life as a coach. We now welcome Michael Gelkin from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. He's another individual who's embedded with this team, does an unbelievable job every week. He breaks stories. He has access with the players and the coaches. And, Michael, thanks for joining us. I want to start off with your most recent column on the injury to Gerrion Connolly. That's a big loss for the Raiders, not only heading into this game, but we won't see him the remainder of the year.
Really is a big loss. And I think the full extent to which this hurt the Raiders probably won't be fully appreciated until I think fans and the league see exactly what a healthy Gerrion Connolly looks like. And that's based on what he showed the Raiders in the spring. They were convinced this guy is a player for us. I mean, there's no doubt that we're talking about a starting player on this defense, certainly at a position where the Raiders have had such inconsistency. To have Gerrion Connolly, who knows, maybe we wouldn't be talking about a defense that in week 11, mid-November, is still looking for its first interception of the season.
Yeah, I look at this, and you're at all the press conferences on how Reggie McKenzie, Jack Del Rio, Ken Norton Jr. have handled this injury. Tell me about it. What's it like when they have to answer question after question on their first-round pick that can't get healthy and get on the field?
Yeah, I think it's been one of those things where there isn't a lot they can truly say because there is so much uncertainty as to why isn't he on the field and when is he going to be on the field? Where is he in his recovery? This is not as cut and dry. If you say it was a fracture of his collarbone, okay, you know, 4 to 6 week process to get the bone right and all of that. And, you know, it's pretty clear cut and dry with certain injuries. With this one, the shin, what we were talking about with Gerrion Connolly, you know, it was one of those murky timetables where you just give it rest. And that's what they did starting in mid-June. He didn't finish the team's minicamp, rested for the 6 weeks before training camp, continued to rest throughout the entirety of training camp, didn't play at all in the preseason, didn't play in the regular season opener. I mean, they gave him a ton of time, but during that time and even most recently after they shut him down around October 6th was the last time he practiced, there really wasn't anything conclusive they could say about when he would return to the field. They just didn't know.
Michael Gelkin's our guest from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Let's move on. When I saw you in Sarasota when the team was training at IMG and then the Miami win, why should Raider fans be optimistic about this matchup with the Patriots, considering the Patriots annihilated the Broncos 41-16? Was the bye week here at the perfect time? Do you think Del Rio has got these guys at least believing that they can get on a roll by beating the Patriots in Mexico City?
Honestly, frankly, I don't know if I am comfortable making the argument in terms of why Raiders fans should feel confident going into this game. I mean, the Patriots play so sound in so many respects. I mean, offensively, gracious, what they're able to do with Tom Brady in that passing game. It sometimes is cliche to talk about a team's stars. It can be lazy to talk about just Tom Brady or just Rob Gronkowski, you know, the players that every fan should know well. But in this instance, I mean, those are their studs, and they show up seemingly every game. And you'll get special teams against the Broncos, you know, something that's less obvious. And they block a punt. They return a kickoff for a touchdown. From a kickoff standpoint, at times they chose not to go for touchback against the Broncos. Instead, something that they've done all season is try to pin their opponent inside the 25-yard line, and they were able to do that with overall success. I mean, this is a really, really good overall football team. It should be a shootout if the Raiders' offense can show up, but that's the thing. Going into this type of matchup, you don't have any doubt what you're going to get from the Patriots' offense. But the question is, what kind of Raiders' offense will we see? Because it's been fairly inconsistent from an execution standpoint.
Michael Gelkin's our guest. I would agree with you. And I look at this game for me. with the Raiders offense, with Todd Downing, now that Musgrave's been gone in Denver and Downing's trying to figure out Carr and the personnel that they have, excuses die, the record stands. This has got to be a game where Carr comes out four wide and they attack and they just look to get in a shootout, or am I missing this? Do they want to ball control it and get this offensive line to run it down the throat of New England? Enough of this zone blocking and just go man on man, get Marshawn Lynch to move the chains, because if the Raiders can pick up first down on the ground, Brady sits on the sideline. Can the Raiders win a possession battle here and hold the ball for 35 minutes?
You know, you got to think that at some point this is a team that's going to have to find ways to force turnovers. And that has been an area that certainly the Patriots over the years have done a good job of. You look at their turnover margin. I mean, they're usually one of the better teams. And last year, the Raiders were one of the better teams with a plus 16 margin. But this year, they're minus 7. And so I mentioned early about the defense yet to force an interception. You know, no team in NFL history has gone this long to start a season without an interception, having failed to record one in these first 9 games. Well, Brady's only thrown 2 of them all season. So I think somewhere along the line, be it special teams, be it defensively, I mean, there's got to be a couple plays along this one where the Raiders offense can take the field on a short field and they can protect the football and not settle for field goals, but touchdowns. You kind of go into this sort of a game knowing what it's going to take. And turnovers are, again, one of those things that it's always, you know, if you're watching a TV broadcast, 3 things to watch this one in terms of keys to victory. You know, turnovers are always one of those obvious things that you can single out. But when you're facing a team of this caliber, you really can't afford to shoot yourself in the foot. And you've got to make the most of whatever opportunities that come your way to help out your offense.
Wrapping it up with Michael Gelkin from the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Journal, he covers the Raiders as we preview Raiders, New England, and Mexico City coming up this Sunday. I look at Brady, the ball comes out quick. So if you blitz Brady, if you blitz him, he's still going to get the ball out, and you're worrying about man-to-man coverage and guarding guys like Gronkowski who can get behind Raider linebackers and in front of the safeties. What do you think is the number one concern for Jack Del Rio coming into this game? Because I think it's either go man, make sure the zone is a lot tighter, because, Michael, we've been on the road together. This is a soft zone at times. I've seen guys running wild in the secondary once they start their routes. I don't see the physicality for the Raiders at the line of scrimmage where they're cracking a guy like Gronkowski and making him at least work to get off the ball the first 5 yards. What do you think Del Rio instructs his defense to do in this one?
You know, I think interior pressure certainly would be nice. It's not something that the Raiders have gotten consistently enough. It's not something that they've gotten as much as they would have hoped. But Eddie Vanderdoest or Mario Edwards or whomever, you know, I think one thing that we've seen over these past couple of years, be it last year when the Raiders finished dead last in the NFL in sacks, or this year when they're currently tied for lowest, you know, for fewest sacks in the league again this year, is that Khalil Mack can't do it alone. And so you need to be able to pressure Tom Brady. Ideally, he's so good in the pocket. If you can try to get that pressure in his face from an interior standpoint, that can only help. I think the Raiders may have to rely on a couple guys who they haven't really relied upon much recently. One being David Amerson, a cornerback who has been dealing with a foot injury that's kept him out of a couple games now. Unclear whether or not he will play on Sunday, but that's the hope. He's going to practice on Wednesday after doing some running today. And then Obi Melifonwu, the team's rookie second-round draft pick, he just had his first game of his career this, you know, right before the bye against the Dolphins, played fewer than 10 snaps, but he's a guy that they really like, at least going into the season, to, before he got hurt, to match up against tight ends and be a one-on-one type of guy where he can try to remove a receiving tight end from the equation. To see how often Obi Melifonwu was given the chance to do that against Rob Gronkowski, who's obviously more experienced, I think that's going to be a fascinating matchup if we see that play out.
I think this game comes at the perfect time for the Raiders. It's a must-win game against the best team in football, the reigning Super Bowl champs, on a neutral field, which is a Raiders home game if they win, to get to 5-5. It feels like it's 2 victories in 1. Finally, Michael, it shouldn't be difficult for Del Rio to motivate this team to come out of the tunnel at Azteca Stadium and have them pumping and ready to go. The Patriots are staying in Denver to practice in the altitude. The Raiders are coming in the Saturday before the game. Just let's end on that note. Do you think that's a risky move by the Raiders, or it worked last year and they want to stick with what works?
Yeah, I don't know if I would call it a risk. and I'm not a scientist by any stretch, but my understanding of when it comes to your body acclimating to altitude, you're either best getting in, you know, a couple weeks early or so, or you're best getting in, you know, the night before a game. And the Raiders are choosing to do the latter. So I don't know if that puts them at a disadvantage. You know, one person I spoke to characterized it just the opposite, where they think it'll help the Raiders. So I think altitude will be a factor, but it's a factor that both sides are going to have to deal with. Ultimately, this one's going to come down to execution, and the Raiders are well aware that they've got to execute far better than they did during many stretches during the first half of the season.
Thank you, Michael. I really appreciate your work. Thanks for giving us a few minutes.
Likewise. My pleasure. Take care.
Appreciate Michael coming on. You can check him out at the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and he travels with the Raiders. We move now to the Patriots beat writer, does an amazing job for the Boston Globe. We welcome Ben Volen to the official Raiders podcast. And Ben, thanks a lot. I know you're on the road with this team at the Air Force Academy. Talk about what this week has been like for the Patriots as they stayed in Colorado coming off the win against the Broncos.
Yeah, as Bill Belichick said, this trip out here to Colorado just made sense on several levels. Just flying back and forth between Denver and Boston and then Mexico City again, it certainly makes sense from a travel perspective to stay out here. And then you factor in the elevation. Also, Mexico City, it's going to be the game's going to be played at 7,300 feet, and the Air Force Academy, where the Patriots are practicing this week, is around 6,600. So they're getting acclimated to the altitude. They're bonding on the road. They're staying together in the team hotel. No distractions. A lot of team together activities. Bill Belichick had Air Force coach Troy Calhoun speak with the team today, and then a bunch of parachuters from the Air Force jump team surprised the team at the end of practice and landed on the field. So it's been a neat little mix of military education and appreciation, and then team bonding in football this week for the Patriots.
Well, once again, the number one passing offense in football, over 300 yards a game, number one overall in yards. Walk me through that win at Denver. Denver needed that. That was a season moment for them. They had to get that win, and they weren't able to do it, and Denver gets blown out. What worked so well for the Patriots in that game at Mile High and the blowout win?
Well, first of all, the Broncos just melted down on special teams, and the Patriots pretty much directly scored 24 points off of special teams. We all saw the kickoff return, block punt, the fumble early in the game that gave them great field position. Denver getting caught with 12 men on the field on a punt that gives the Patriots a first down. So the Broncos, that's where you have to start when you look at how that game fell apart for them. But, you know, Brady was so good at getting the ball out of his hand quickly, really negating that pass rush. Von Miller had one quarterback hit and didn't do a whole lot else on Sunday night, and Brady was great getting the ball to his running back, James White, Rex Burkhead, Deion Lewis had a big game, and Rob Gronkowski as well. You know, I think if you're looking at the Broncos, you don't want to go after their cornerbacks. Those guys are pretty good. So you attack their linebackers and their safeties. Tom Brady did a great job of that the other day. And you have to look at red zone execution too. They were 4-for-6 in the red zone. That was an area they had struggled in, but the bye week treated them well, and they got their act together last week.
Ben Volen joins us, NFL insider, Patriots writer at the Boston Globe. Concerns with the Raiders coming in, a 12-win team last year. This year with Derek Carr, had an injury. He's back. This team just won in Miami. They did something similar to the Patriots. They went from Buffalo, stayed in Sarasota, got the extra work in Florida before they went into Miami, and now the Raiders are coming off a bye week, what feels like a must-win game for the Silver and Black if they win to go to 5-5. Talk about your perspective of the Raiders, Derek Carr, and the Raider offense.
Yeah, it's a team, the Raiders, that have sputtered a bit this year. I think a lot of us had high expectations for them. Obviously, they're not where they want to be at 4-5, but I still think this team absolutely has the Patriots' attention and Bill Belichick's attention and respect. We all know they're very talented on offense, a ton of speed. Derek Carr is a phenomenal young quarterback. Bill Belichick was raving about him today, his ability to extend plays, hit the big plays, work all three levels of the field. So they understand that Derek Carr is a very dangerous quarterback, the speed that he has at receiver and all over the field, the size of that offensive line. So the Patriots know that this offense can break out in a hurry. And defensively, obviously, Khalil Mack can also wreck a game in a hurry. And the Patriots have seen it before against guys like Von Miller, who have just absolutely taken over a game against. So Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin and the pass rushers up front definitely have the Patriots' attention going to this game. But obviously, with the Raiders' inability to come up with any interceptions this year, there does seem to be something a little bit off with the defense right now. They're not getting to the quarterback, not creating turnovers. So I do wonder how they're going to be able to handle the Patriots' very multifaceted attack. That's probably going to use a lot of up-tempo on Sunday down in Mexico.
Yeah, one other point on the Patriots' running game. They're ranked 16th overall at 100 and almost 8 yards a game, middle of the road for this team. I just see Brady always in the shotgun, and when the pressure comes, the ball comes out. And what blows me away about Brady is he's always throwing to guys who are wide open. It's not like he's throwing it into double teams or he's taking chances there. And I think that's critical in this game if the Raiders can get a pass rush or they're going to drop extra players back into coverage here, because you cover him every day, Ben. What's it like seeing Brady in practice and on game day knowing how to look off defenders and then hitting guys in stride who seem to be wide open?
I mean, Brady said it several times now that he feels like he's played this game long enough, 18 years now, where he has most of the answers to the test. There aren't too many defenses that he hasn't seen at this point, and he pretty much knows how to find a way to beat them all. Now, if you can get pressure on him and if you can beat him up front, that's certainly how you can slow Brady down. But the guy is just, you know, maniacal with his preparation and his routine, taking care of his body. 40 years old, like, it sounds cliche, but it's true. He really does look like he's 10 years younger, moves around the pocket well, is able to even extend plays now, find his second and third option. It's not always perfect. He has occasionally, you know, thrown into double coverage on a deep ball to Brandon Cooks, or he doesn't always see the field, especially earlier this season when the offensive line wasn't playing so well. But Brady, just there's nothing defensively that you can do to really confuse him. And the Raiders, you know, they have one of these defenses where they kind of declare before the snap if they're in zone or man. And that's when Brady goes to work. He moves the chess pieces around before the snap based on what coverage you're showing. And a lot of times the pass is completed before the ball is even snapped. And, I mean, there's no one better at that than Tom Brady.
Then, finally, it looks like it's cruise control after this, because the game's in Mexico City, not in Oakland. And after that, it's the Dolphins at home, at the Bills, at the Dolphins, on the road at the Steelers, clearly possibly the biggest game of the year, before the Patriots end the season at home against the Bills and the Jets back-to-back. So there's not a lot of tough sledding after this Mexico City game other than the obviously Steelers game here. It looks like the Patriots are on pace again, 11-12 wins again and making that run towards the Super Bowl. Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. I mean, I've seen this movie before where they struggle early in the season. They have some issues. It looks like they're falling back to earth. But then here they are. They're 7-2, right where they want to be, atop the AFC. You're right. That Week 15 game at Pittsburgh is probably going to be for the number one seed. You know, I don't want to count out Kansas City quite yet, but that's going to be a huge game at Pittsburgh. But otherwise, the Patriots, yeah, their schedule is very backloaded. They play 5 of their 6 division games here at the end, and the teams like Buffalo and Miami, they look like they're starting to fall apart a little bit. So Patriots might be catching these guys at the right time. And if they, you know, for them in recent history, it's been all about that number one seed. When they get home field advantage in the playoffs, they go to the Super Bowl. And when they have to go on the road for the AFC Championship game, they've lost it a couple times to Denver. So getting that number one seed is absolutely huge for the Patriots and crucial. And you're right, it's definitely set up for them to take it now.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks for checking in from Colorado on this long road trip. I know you're doing a lot of work. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot, JT.
So Ben's been on the road for a while. We appreciate him giving us a few minutes of his time. And we wrap it up as we always do, as we go back to Alameda. Senior writer for the Silver and Black, Eddie Pascal, joins us. Eddie, let's talk about this. What have you seen this week with the Raiders in their preparation in advance going to Mexico City?
Yeah, well, I think you said it perfectly. There's a lot that goes into an international game. There's a lot that goes into a game that isn't normal in many senses of the word, right? The team travels internationally. It's a game played at elevation. And I was talking with Big Jelly Ellis earlier today about playing in elevation, and he did it last year. And he said, look, you have to realize you're going to be tired. That's just the way of the world. You're playing at that high of a level with that thin air, and you're going to get tired. He goes, you push yourself maybe a little harder in practice this week. You eat a little bit cleaner. You take care of your body just that little bit more. And he was quick to say, he goes, hey, these are things you should be doing anyways, but everything just kind of amplifies going into a game, and, you know, going into a game where you're playing at a very, you know, very high elevation.
When I follow you also on Twitter, I look at the injury report and the fact that Gerrion Connolly now is shut down. Obi's come up and played, and now everybody's excited to see him. Amerson's trying to get back on the field again. Eddie, how would you describe this season? There's been guys banged up the entire year. It still looks like a team that could never be close to completely healthy heading into big games.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's unfortunately the way that the ball's kind of bounced for this team this year is that they haven't had that full complement of their entire playmakers. And, you know, we'll see what happens down the stretch of these next seven games. And regardless of if it's great or if it's not so great, I think that this is going to be a kind of season of what ifs. When you look back on what happened, you know, what if Gerrion would have been healthy the entire year? You know, what if we would have had everyone ready to rock for all these big games, like you said? But you know what? Head coach Jack Del Rio's done a great job of saying next man up. And, you know, the guys that we play on Sunday are the guys that we have. You know, there's kind of no use in crying over spilled milk and wishing and hoping that things were different. And, look, this is a team that even at 4-5 is right in the thick of things in the AFC playoff picture. And so they would be very well served to beat this Patriots team on Sunday. And if they can find a way to get things done, I mean, hey, 5-5 going into it with six games left, I mean, this is a team that is equipped to make a run. We know what they're capable of on offense. It hasn't kind of all come together over an extended period of time. But if this team can get hot at the right time, and there's no reason they can't make a run into the postseason.
Wrapping it up with Eddie Pascal, joins us every week from Alameda. And, Eddie, I think the key all week is how do you beat the Patriots? Do you run the ball and keep Brady on the sideline, or do you just flat out get in an aerial attack? You tell Carr you got $125 million. You're a potential MVP in this league long term. You're a star. Go after 40-year-old Tom Brady and go up and down the field with him. I'm expecting a high-scoring game. What are you sensing around the team, a run game or an aerial attack?
You know, I'm sensing the same thing you are, JT. And, you know, coach likes to talk all the time about balance, balance. This team is the best when they're balanced in their attack. But I think that going against Tom Brady and this number one ranked Patriots offense, you're going to have to score some points. And I think, you know, I don't know if they necessarily want to go toe-to-toe and point for point with Brady in the past, but I think they're going to put the hands in Derek Carr, their best player, and give him the chance to give the playmakers on the outside chance to go do what they do and make plays. So, I mean, we'll obviously see what happens come Sunday, but I do anticipate we're going to see a lot of Derek Carr and, you know, letting him lose and letting him do what he does best and showing why he is this team's franchise quarterback going forward.
Thanks once again to Eddie Pascal, all of our guests, Ben Volen, Chris Sims, John Pagano, and Michael Gelkin. There you go, Raider Nation. I really enjoyed this one. Thanks to everyone at Silver and Black Productions here coming off the bye week. This was the game that we've been waiting for all year long. If the Raiders can get a win, big things are going to happen the rest of the way. Let's hope it happens Sunday in Mexico City, and then we'll come back and break down the Broncos the following week. Thanks for joining us and listening to the official Raiders podcast.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.